This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The president wins in court. No other way around that. On the Avenatti Stormy Daniels defamation suit. He acts again like an 11-year-old and calls Stormy Daniels horse face. This is the president of the United States. It doesn't surprise any of us by now, does it? Doesn't surprise us at all. And so many, and there's a difference because there are many individuals in this country who don't agree with utterances like this, but philosophically agree with the Republican principles of, you know, less taxes, less government, like the regulations that were removed, like the tax cut, like some of the approaches. But abhor the words. But let's just be really honest. There are many, many Trump supporters out there, millions, who love that the president says things like this. That's pathetic. Calling someone horse face when you're the president of the United States. So we have that part of it. Then the president, who has been bobbing and weaving on the Khashoggi story from the start, where at times his words are strong. If we find out this to be true, severe punishment. But other times as well, you know, we got to watch the money. We got to watch the money. And remember, he's not an American citizen. It's very clear. It's not that complicated. The Crown Prince is running this country because the king allows him to. Read any of the accounts. Nothing at a high level ever happens in Saudi Arabia without the Crown Prince okaying it. Khashoggi, who has been an outspoken critic of the atrocity of Saudi Arabia. Let's just admit this too, that our country under numerous presidents and administrations has looked the other way regarding Saudi Arabia because we need another ally in the Middle East. The atrocities, the mistreatment of women and others. But you know what? Because we're battling with Iran, we're battling Iraq, we need someone outside of just Israel. So we looked the other way. And by the way, also oil and the wealth they have. So we've done this under numerous administrations. But now, when Khashoggi walked in there with his fiancée waiting, never left. Individuals came into that area, drove away. Intelligence of ours with reports that something could happen to him. Anybody who's paid attention to the story, including numerous Republicans, this is not a Democrat versus Republican story, because Marco Rubio and Lindsey Graham, some of the most outspoken on this. And now the president of Sweden, I just spoke with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, who totally denied any knowledge. It's laughable. It's embarrassing. So take your pick, whether it's insulting a woman to this level, who, by the way, he slept with. He didn't pay her just, hey, I'm going to pay her this money just for no reason. And, of course, he lied about it. But then an individual who lives in this country, who's faced threats, walks into the building, doesn't walk out. But Adam, the Crown Prince, told me, so, I mean, nothing happened. Pompeo is a forceful individual. I hope Pompeo, who met with the king, is pursuing this a little more vigorously than the president apparently is. You want to react to either one of these items, either on the comments towards Stormy or the more global issue involving...
Well, I think you could open up the phone lines and say, let's hear from someone who's changed their opinion of the president now, and no one would call. I don't think it changes anybody's opinion of him.
Well, and many, many supporters like that he calls her out, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a very high percentage. And that doesn't mean that we don't have other individuals who are Republicans, just didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton because they just disagree and they kind of held their nose a little bit. But so many people love these type of comments and they're disgusting. And then he talks about the civility of others. And by the way, there's plenty to call out on what's happening with some of the far left activists screaming, threatening, showing up at restaurants. That's pathetic. It's just flat out pathetic. And then the president, who makes fun of a reporter with physical issues, makes fun of POWs, makes fun of looks. I mean, this is not the first time he's publicly made fun of a woman's appearance. Let's not forget when he was Megyn Kelly asked him a fair question. He was talking about her period. Let's not forget this is a guy who uses the word retarded on a regular basis. But, you know, defend him. You want to react? I'm willing to take all your calls and texts. Go at us all you want. We are going to get to other issues. But be outraged by what he's saying. It bothers you greatly or defend it. Either way, 651-989-9226 or text away 81807. Adam has an update here on a busy news day. All right, on the president and the two very different comments, just soft-pedaling what happened in Saudi Arabia. In the Saudi Arabia consulate, where by all accounts, I mean, it's without a doubt that the journalist walked in there and did not walk out. So in a country which is run with an iron fist by the crown prince, and of course the king can step in and say, you're done at any point. All of a sudden now, we're putting merit into, he denied it. The rogue killers. Stop. Please. Doesn't pass the laughing test. And again, this isn't an issue where it's only Democrats on one side. Republicans. Lindsey Graham is saying MBS has to go. Lindsey Graham has been an enormous defender of Saudi Arabia and a huge defender of the U.S. So if you think this is some just the weak lefty liberal saying this, you're completely delusional about it. And then he wins legally, potentially a very significant victory in defamation with Stormy Daniels. And of course, as usual, rising above it, he calls her horse face. That's what he does. You're bothered by it. You love it. You hate it. Let's stay with this segment, get to some other issues. Joe's in Columbia Heights. Joe, you're on.
Well, first of all, it's very obvious that you're not a Trump supporter.
That is clear. I've never hit that. But you do realize, but hold on a second, you do realize I voted for Republican as president, Republican as congressman, and then I never voted for Mark Dayton or Al Franken. So this is my issue is with a individual who is a pathological liar who treats people in a demeaning way. But in a lot.
All right. Okay.
One more thing.
Let's just get on to the subject.
No, one more thing. On the fiscal ideas, I am right of center. But when people treat others like dirt, it should be called out. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So let's get on to this lawyer. This lawyer drags out some woman who accuses an incredible judge of being a gang rapist. So we're supposed to sit there.
Did I at any point defend Michael Avenatti at one point in this conversation?
No, not once. I'm just saying that this back and forth of this scumbag who goes, you know, I don't have a problem with Trump doing what he's doing because
he called a woman horse face. You're okay with that? You're okay.
I love it.
I love it. That's what you want the president to call someone.
You wanted to hear my point of view. I'm giving you my point of view.
But we can have a back and forth. I'm asking you. You love that the president just called a woman horse face to literally the entire country.
Why not?
Okay.
Why not? I have no problem with it. You know what? This woman has tried to do everything she could. She made a contract. She violated her contract. Then she gets this scumbag lawyer. And then this scumbag lawyer goes gets another woman to totally destroy a judge. I really don't care. You know,
you don't know. You don't. Listen.
When the Democrats go low, we kick them in the knee. Well, you know what? We're kicking back now.
Oh, yeah. Are you telling me the president has stayed above the fray? Let me ask you this. When he was making fun of John McCain.
Oh, no.
When he made fun of John McCain, what did you think of that?
My father flew with John McCain, and he had very little good to say about him.
You're okay. You're okay with that. Making fun of a POW. You're okay with making fun of a POW. Yes or no?
You did. Hold on.
Yes or no?
Just not listen to the chat. Listen to what I'm telling you.
Right.
Okay. My father flew with John McCain. Okay.
I heard that.
Paul Carey was a POW in the Hanoi Hilton.
Right.
They were best friends.
I'm very sorry your father to face that.
A lot of good things to say about John McCain.
So, yes or no, are you okay with him making fun of a POW?
I am okay with him making fun of McCain, yes.
Okay, how about when he made fun of the reporter who has physical issues? You okay with that?
I didn't see it, so I can't really
I understand.
Well, let's go on to this Khashoggi thing.
Quick.
All right, you're saying this is a Saudi problem and a Turkish problem.
Yep.
So we have $16 billion worth of contracts. So what are we supposed to say?
We have more than that. We have a lot more than that.
$16 billion worth of people that are making money off this. You no longer have a job because this is a Saudi problem and a Turkish problem.
Here's what I would say. If you have a relationship, and it's a very vital relationship, you're 100% right. It's a lot of money. But you also have a morality about it that an individual who lives in this country walks in and apparently was carved up and nothing happens in that country without the Crown Prince and you're just going to accept it, then you're different than a lot of people in this country. And I get hold on, let me just finish. There are financial implications to it, but there is a morality to someone who lives in America who's a reporter who walks in and gets tortured and carved up and just says, well, because of the money. We can't do anything.
Okay, I got one last point on that, though.
Sure.
You're saying we can't accept what this guy is saying because it's idiotic, but yet I'm forced to accept what Christina Ford said, and then you're talking about
Hold on a second. We're talking about two different things.
Amy not saying anything about Ellison. So there's hypocrisy going around.
I've called out Klobuchar and Smith both on the Ellison hypocrisy.
Well, what about the Minnesota people?
They should have. I agree. But you don't know if Dr. Ford's lying or not. How do you know Dr. Ford's lying?
I don't know if the Crown Prince is lying.
Yep. Well, what happened in the room?
Right?
Where did he go? That's very simple. Where did he go? He walked in there. He never came out. Where did he go?
Hey. Maybe you took a walk.
Sure.
I don't know.
Got it. Dan's in St. Paul. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I can.
All right, great. My question, I guess, would be what should have Trump done regarding the Saudi prince? I mean, like I said, there's a lot at stake. Nothing has been proven. I think he's just kind of giving the guy the benefit of the doubt kind of thing. And diplomatically, don't you think that's probably beneficial?
I think you have to find out what happened. But now we're hearing rogue killers. We're hearing we know nothing about it. It's a country that is run by a family where nothing at this stature would ever happen without their okay. It just wouldn't.
Oh, sure.
And we're hearing much stronger words from all the Republicans compared to the president.
Well, I think the problem is that it's Saudi Arabia. And it's not unlike many other countries where there's tons of corruption going on.
Right.
People are getting killed every day.
Correct.
This happens to be, you know, a little more high profile, perhaps. But I don't know that it's really... Why should Donald Trump have to find the solution?
Because it happened while the president... You're right. You're right in this sense that there has been looking the other way and putting up with Saudi Arabia's double standard during so many administrations way before Donald Trump. That's 100% correct. But this now has happened during the president's watch. Difficult things happen whether you're one-term president or potentially two-term president, and then you have to deal with it. And he just keeps going back and forth and to say, hey, they're denying it. But does anybody believe – do we have a further explanation where he went then?
Hey, maybe that – I mean, the guy probably did get chopped up in there. But, I mean, the thing is his hands are kind of tied, don't you think? I mean, what is he supposed to do about it? Say, all right, we need to get rid of the prince here.
You can offer up a rather vigorous sanctions and respond as opposed to, you know what, they denied it, so what else can I do? Thank you, sir. Call again. I appreciate it. Let's get to some texts. Trump and others need to hold Saudi Arabia accountable for many different things. Let's see. You spent way too much time with the last guy. Classic Trump supporter there, mind-boggling their adults to think this way. What should Trump do about Saudi Arabia? He needs to have a vigorous investigation. He needs to rely on others and not just rely on the words of the individual who, by all accounts, orchestrated this situation and say, hey, denies it. Because guess what? What do we always hear from the president if it's someone he's sympathetic to? He denied it. We always hear that. Just look through the president's background as a private citizen or now as president. If it's someone he agrees with and has a beneficial relationship, the deference is always to that person. It started out respectful of Dr. Ford and then mocking her at a rally. Let's see here. Let the callers talk. The previous caller was on for 4 minutes. I don't like what Trump said, but I like what Trump does. Unlike previous administrations, this is different. I can't understand how any intelligent woman can have any respect for Trump. I'd like to know how they can accept and still support it. Let's see. No, somebody's saying if they don't agree with me, that we're not letting them on. We just had two callers who didn't agree with me. But you have to be respectful and make your points, and I defer to Craig and Lindsay on these issues. Okay, let's pause here. Get to other matters. You can keep sending texts in at any point, 81807. Can I get to two completely unrelated stories related to New York? Adam, your call, one's sports and one's serious. Which sequence would you like? Would you like the sports one first, then serious?
Sure.
Or serious and then sports?
Sports, then serious.
Okay. Mark Cannizzaro is a guy you would recognize because he's a columnist, covers a lot of sports, including golf. So you as a person who's been in a lot of press rooms, like you were at Hazeltine, where literally Phil Mickelson was calling you by name. What did he call you again?
Guy. Well, I am a guy.
Guy. You are a guy. He calls you that. Cannizzaro does make a pretty good point here about, because the Jets offered Cousins, you remember what they offered? 3 years, $90 million guarantee. Here at the radio station, we call that Adam Carter money. And then, you know, he did that video. I didn't see it, but I remember it shows some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And he was talking about getting the Jets are there. Now let's get the Vikings up. And it was clear he wanted to come here and was using the Jets for his son. Now, for the Jets, it's worked out better. Now, Cousins is having a very good year. He's better than I thought he was. So far, I am wrong on Kirk Cousins. I thought he was slightly above Keenum. Keenum's getting booed in Denver. Cousins is much better. But for the Jets, they moved up. They got Sam Darnold. He looks like he's got a chance. He's been a little up and down, but he's a kid. And they saved all that money. Cannizzaro goes to the flyover country part of the story, though. We're just playing us off like rubes, apparently. When he's talking about, where did I put it? Okay. He chose the Mall of America over Manhattan. He chose Olive Garden over Il Molino. First of all, Olive Garden underrated. I mean, the breadsticks.
Oh, come on.
Breadsticks are so good. But yeah, there we go. The quintessential. That's it. We're all at Mall of America, and all we're doing up there is, what are we doing? I normally get about 20 of those breadsticks. So yeah, that's what Cousins did. Now, the serious one out of New York, and then we're going to pause, get to traffic, weather. Neil Justin on Roseanne without Roseanne. Homelessness in New York public schools. This is a number that is frightening. One out of every 10 students in New York City will sleep in a homeless shelter or the home of relatives. One in 10. There are more homeless students in New York City than people in the capital of New York, Albany. At 144 public schools, a third of the children are homeless. The ratio of social workers to help out these kids, one for every 1,660. You want to talk about one of the saddest things out there, Adam? One out of 10 kids in the New York City public schools is homeless. I want to talk about an enormous problem that we have in this country. The number of homeless that we have. And I totally understand we have fiscal issues. I mean, the debt is going up at a staggering rate under Obama, under Bush, under Trump. And just throwing an endless amount of money at every issue isn't the resolution. But in the biggest city in our country, one out of every 10 kids doesn't have a home to go to? What in the hell is going on? And the other item out of New York. New York had their first shooting-free weekend in 25 years, Carter. First time in 25 years they were without a single shooting or homicide. It's great that you didn't have it, but the fact you have to go 25 years is another one that's hard to fathom. But I'm sorry. I don't know what is acceptable. Obviously, zero is what you want. But the fact we have 10% of kids in New York City, an area of unbelievable wealth in parts of it, and one of every 10 kids has nowhere to go at night is one of the saddest stats you're going to hear. Radio.com. Neil Justin has joined us many times before on a number of topics. We'll bring Neil in the conversation right away. Get to Roseanne without Roseanne Barr. The Connors, by now you're aware of the tweets regarding Valerie Jarrett. Her past tweets, her past comments on racism and conspiracies. And how fast this happened, and ABC felt like they had no choice. They fired her. Then they thought, wait a second, we've got a show, we've got a lot of people, we have a lot of people who we're going to have to pay either way. We've got an audience that still wants this show, so the show is coming back without Roseanne Barr. Neil's had a chance to watch. You've seen two of the shows so far, is that right?
Yeah, I saw the premiere that'll be on tonight, and then they sent another episode that I think will air next month sometime.
What is your view of the show going forward?
My view is that it's quite good. Which is partly a surprise because it seems to have come together fairly hastily. And as I wrote this morning, you could come into it very cynically that, look, as you just said in your excellent introduction,
thank you.
It was a popular show, and they're just looking to cash a quick buck.
Yep.
To keep it going. But you were also reminded that Roseanne, while her stand-up kind of set the original show in motion, this was a show with a really great team of writers and an excellent, excellent cast.
Yep.
And in fact, in many ways, Roseanne was acting-wise sort of the weak link. Nothing against her. She was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But she was on stage with some pretty great actors, including John Goodman and Lord Metcalf.
Yes, very accomplished.
And they're still around. And in some ways, it's better because they have more to do. And I can't reveal exactly how they've written Roseanne out, but it's dramatic, and it does allow Goodman, Metcalf, and the rest of the cast to react in a way that that gives Roseanne that extra oomph that made the original Roseanne, I think, one of the best sitcoms of all time.
So you think it does work with the confines of the previous show and what you saw last year?
It does. I mean, okay. I think it's almost, as I said in my column this morning, it's almost as if they saw this coming, and the way that they've eliminated Roseanne's character makes a lot of sense. I think what they set us up for last season dovetails nicely into what I saw in a couple episodes. I think it's still a sitcom that really reflects the time we're in and a group of people that are overlooked in television,
yep.
Lower middle class,
I agree.
Midwesterners, that are dealing with things like drinking and drugs, unemployment, insurance, feeling neglected. And I think, you know, last year or earlier this year, I should say, last season, the show tried to deal with that by having Roseanne as a Trump supporter, which I think was a good move artistically. And I think it was representative of a lot of Americans. Unfortunately, that conversation drowned out the rest of what the show had to
mm-hmm.
offer.
Right.
It really didn't deal with it that much. No, it
going
didn't
forward.
The first episode, and it didn't. But that's all people could talk about.
Yeah, right.
And now that's gone. And now you're left with what Roseanne special the first time around, and I think what was really promising about it last season, and that is dealing with everything else.
We have watched before on a number of shows leads or number two people for contracts or frustration written out. So that obviously has happened. But, Neil, is there any precedent like this where the sole reason why a show existed in the first place and then was surrounded by other people? And again, her driving personality brought the show back, again, with the talented people you laid out, where the show then fired that person in some controversial way and then went on to have success.
The one that comes to mind, and it certainly wasn't as high profile as this show, was a show that Valerie Harper did. I can't remember what the original, it might have been called Hogan Family, or it was originally called Hogan Family.
Yeah, right.
Many years ago, and she was she left after one season, and the show continued afterwards. I want to say with Sandy Duncan or some other actor, and it survived for a few years after that. I remember Facts of Life, which was spun off for Charlotte Ray's character from Different Strokes, ended up leaving the series, and I believe Clarice Leachman stepped in for the last couple years. Again, a show that was designed around Mrs. Garrett's character. I know this was your favorite show growing up.
I have them all.
You had the hots for Tootsie.
Tootie.
Tootie. Here.
Let's get it right. Okay, Tootsie, that's a movie. Okay.
Wow.
Tootie.
Can't believe it's corrected by you on Facts of Life.
telling.
So, you know, it's happened. This dramatically.
The only way I'll push back on that a little bit is those actors were replaced. In this case, they're writing off the single person who allowed the show to be started in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of a specific example. I'm sure it's happened, but maybe not on such a high-profile show.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, Roseanne in its original run was one of the top shows on the air.
Yeah.
And last year,
right.
it was the best, if you want to call it a new series, had the best ratings in years for a primetime
Correct.
Show. So certainly to this high degree, it's probably unprecedented, but certainly a show going on without one of its big names is not unprecedented. And it really shows you the importance of good writing and good supporting players. And it's certainly no big stretch for Goodman and Sarah Gilbert and Laurie Metcalf to have a little more high profile this time around. And by the way, some characters that I think were underwritten before, like Becky, the older sister.
Oh, yeah, right.
I was stuck at the short shift before. That actress, Lacey Gordonson, really shines in the episodes I've seen. There's definitely more for her to do. She's terrific.
I would assume that tonight's show will get high ratings. There will be a curiosity, obviously the loyalty of long viewers and others. But what does your gut tell you throughout the rest of the season when there are a lot of people who were drawn to the show because of Roseanne, and some of them feel like Roseanne wasn't treated fairly when she was fired?
It's possible. Keep in mind that when the show rebooted, it did get fantastic ratings at the beginning, but those ratings went down as the show progressed. Every week the ratings slipped. And while the ratings were still pretty darn good near the end of its 10, 13 episode run, they weren't boffo like they were at the beginning.
Yep.
So who's to say that that show would have continued to be a great success even if Roseanne had come back? I think there'll be a curiosity factor, and I think that the storylines are strong enough that it should do pretty well. It's a pretty good night of television on ABC. They've got a promising sitcom following it called The Kids Are All Right, which I like quite a bit. It's kind of a new take on The Wonder Years. You know, look, primetime TV ain't what it used to be. So if they get 10 or 12 million, half of, you know, what they used to get back in the day, they'll be okay. I think the show is strong enough that it'll get a solid audience. But, you know, the people that are pissed off from the Roseanne thing, they may stay ticked off. But anybody who's worried that the show is lost its soul, I don't think they have anything to worry about. I think the things that were important to Roseanne, being a voice for those that are overlooked, is still there.
Would you like to spend more time with me away from radio? Maybe we could hang out. I could come over to your place. We could watch some shows together.
You've asked me a lot of hard questions over the years. That is not one. That may be the easiest question you've ever asked. And that would be no.
You know, I'm listening still.
Yeah, no, I just want to be clear. Are you surprised?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, maybe we could kind of be a buddy team.
Well, you know what? We have our big annual trivia contest, you know, that we host. That's in November, the second Tuesday or Thursday. So, I mean, one of my favorite annual traditions is you and your drunken mates over there coming over and sort of making fools of yourselves.
I can't really argue with that.
That's
and you
great
come
fun.
By, you come by, and you'll talk to us for about 17 seconds, and then move on to Lori and Julia and the folks from Channel 4. You kind of you pat us on the head, and then you go on to the bigger people in life.
Did I really spend 17 seconds with you?
I was probably 14. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
okay.
There were people in the way that you couldn't quite get around. Yeah. It's kind of that.
Is this what they call in radio filler?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, I'm done with you. Thank you. Neil Justin with us and not with me. He does not want to spend time with me. Let's do Keyword for Cash. I want to set up and I want to get some texts and calls on this. If you were a fan of the Roseanne show, the first run and what you saw last year, are you watching tonight? If you were a fan and you're ticked off, you felt like she was not treated fairly, it was liberal Hollywood hypocrisy and you're not watching, tell me about it. If you didn't care at all about the show, but now you're drawn to it, tell me about it. Through a phone call or a text, or you don't just give a damn. Don't call me about that. Just text me on that one. We really don't need you to call in and say, I don't care. Although Hammer likes talking to people. I will have time for definitely a number of texts and some calls when we come back. The Conners, without Roseanne, do you care at all? You're going to watch? You're bugged? Where do you stand? 81807. Fabulous day with the market well over 550 points up. We're talking Roseanne here with a couple minutes to go. Dave called in from Blaine. Dave, I got about 45. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm kind of a liberal, but I was sorry to see the show go. I think Roseanne got kind of a bad rap over the little tweet she made. I think they should have given her another chance, but I'll watch the rest of the show anyway.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I don't personally think it was a little tweet. I think there was a history of it. And I think some of the other issues they've had with Roseanne played a part of it. among the texts, bunch coming in. Always liked the cast better than the Roseanne character. I did watch Roseanne last season, but lost interest after the first episode with all the options out there on streaming. Won't watch it without Roseanne. Roseanne was obnoxious and a whiner. Don't care about the Connors. I never thought the show was very good. I'm also not a fan of Roseanne. I'm a moderate who feels like Roseanne got railroaded a little bit, but loved the show and still plan on watching. Show was a hit back in the day. Glad it was back with Roseanne and glad to see it move forward without her. Would love her to see her make an unannounced surprise cameo. At this point, I don't think that's going to happen. Somebody's wondering about the money. By all accounts, she agreed to take no money. That was a huge sticking point, but that she said, fine, go forward. I will not take a penny at all. And most people thought the show would not go forward if she was going to get money. Hammer, thanks for helping out. Lindsay's back tomorrow. Busy show tomorrow. DeRussia playing politics and Jim Pete with the Wolves opener in San Antonio. Have a nice afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.